Let's open our excuse me. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews 10:34. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Wait till you hear my last point in what I, if we get there. It's so interesting about the glory. Let's receive our offering though first. Yeah. Hebrews 10:34. I was watching Brother Hagin's meeting when Marty is on the piano, and he's so drunk he can't talk, you know. And I told Deb, I said, I know exactly that feeling. I was watching him, but I could sense and I knew exactly that feeling that he had when he'd try to say something and you're just like, blah, blah. I like to go back and watch those things. They're so wonderful to see so many people getting blessed by God, and they weren't all so in their flesh. There were thousands of people there, and they all just went nuts for the glory. It's just so beautiful. I mean, there are people doing the chicken dance like Jesse does, and then there's just people, you know, and it's just amazing. Everybody worshiping God and praising God in their way. Well, we're not in that day anymore. We're in double plus that day. There's a whole lot more now, a whole lot more. But I do have good stories from the past. One of the stories is a preacher named Leroy Thompson. I'm going to try to get through this now. So Pastor Leroy Thompson, he's in Louisiana. He's a good friend of Jesse's, Jesse Duplantis's. And he was in the store one day, and the man in front of him was paying for a six-pack. And it was expensive, I guess. I have no idea prices of that stuff. But it was expensive. And he looked back at Leroy, and he said, Pastor Leroy, and he said, man, money goeth. And Pastor Leroy said, sure does, money goeth. And by the time Pastor Leroy got out to the parking lot, the Lord corrected him and said, no, money cometh. Money cometh. And so, you know, if you're just in your old flesh, you're going to think that was just a phrase that the prosperity preachers made up. But it wasn't. It was a revelation. And he just began to say that. And so he would use that testimony. And what happened to him is he began to say money cometh, and he became a money magnet. And he got very wealthy. Now, he knows what to do with money. He understands the motivation and his big church. And so he's blessed. But he's blessed on a level that a lot of Christians are not familiar with, because they don't bother to go there because they're too busy either being ignorant or religious. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Are just too lazy to do what it takes to do, which is not a lot. It's pretty simple. But so he said saying is scriptural. Okay? So what we would say in the meetings, now this had to be, you understand, these waves of things would come through the body of Christ for teachings to help people get on the right page, like all the things Brother Hagin taught, Brother Copeland has taught about faith. People are experts in different things. You know, Brother Jesse Duplano in my bonds, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. That enduring substance, of course, is faith that they're talking about. But what they're talking about here is that they gave to him in prison, okay? And so they gave of their money. They gave money to help. Now, Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Now, those words, recompense of reward, if you look them up in the Greek, it's one word. And that one word is mithapedosia. And it means carried with feet. in other words, it's coming to you. Someone's bringing it to you. It's carried with feet. So right there you see money cometh. It's given to you. Money's trying to find you. Don't get all religious about money. Money's just a tool. How many of y'all own a hammer? Okay, same thing. You need it to make it in this world system, so we use it. Prayer is more powerful, but we have to use this as well. So recompense or reward means it's coming to you. It's coming to you. Now, Romans 4:17, they'll put it up on the board. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. And we know he's talking about Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life, help me, Lord. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Calling things that are not as though they were, okay? Now, look up the word call, and this is what you're going to find. It means summons. It means summons. And so when he called himself, he was calling himself father of many nations. He's calling in all of the descendants. That ought to be a revelation to you. I'm going to have a bunch of children, he's saying. He called it in. He said, I am father of many nations. So don't get all bent out of shape when you heard me say that when I was young in these things, I used to say things like, I have a lot of money now. I have a lot of money now. Because I was trying to teach myself to get out of poverty. I wanted to give. I wanted to give more than $2. I wanted to be able to give thousands. Yes. And so you start saying that until you can. That's and right. Now I can. Yeah. If God calls on me, I can do it. Yeah. When he calls on me, I can do it. I can help in every good work. Yeah. I also have enough of everything at my house. I have what I need. Amen. Everything. Everything that the property requires. Mm-hmm. And more coming. Amen. This church has everything it needs and more coming. We're about to do some more restoration in some places here. We've had our meeting for the year, and we're going to be redoing the office and doing some other things around here. There'll be more than enough, I promise you. There'll be more than enough. Why? Because there's people like me who believe that finances could come to me so I could give. And I know I'm in good company here. Amen. So money cometh was not a trick. It's not a trick. When you look at Deuteronomy 28, talking about the blessings, verse 2, it says, all these blessings shall come on thee. They'll come on thee. What does Psalm 23 says? Surely good and mercy shall follow me. They're following you. They're coming after you. In James, it says that your wages are crying out for you. In other words, wherever you set your place to. When I left my job that paid a whole lot of money, I told the Lord, I said, I still want to make that money. And so, there's different ways for that to happen. And I'm still believing for some of it because it was a good job. You're going to have to say something about it. You're going to have to do something about it. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to seek the kingdom of God. Number one, seeking the kingdom of God means you're a tither. Number two, it means you're a giver. Amen. But I don't want you to ever feel bad if you need to, while you're out kicking the can down the road, taking a walk or doing what you're doing, and you go, you know, I have a lot of money. I'm a success. I'm blessed. I'm important to God. I am. That's not thinking more highly of yourself. You don't want to think more highly of yourself. God gets all the glory. Right. But at the same time, you need to get your identity right. You're not a pauper.
That's right.
You're blessed enough to be a blesser. That's the goal. That's the commission that was put on Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. He didn't say, I'm just going to bless you. Just get all you can and can all you get. Don't give anybody anything. Make sure you have enough and hold him back and all. No, no, no. You're a pipeline. You're a pipeline.
Right.
Well, I don't have enough to tithe. That's your problem. If you tithe, you'd have enough. And things would keep breaking. And it can, even relationships and other things that break down. Become a tither. But you have to be a tither. Not just try it. Amen. The same with giving. You become a giver. And did you know that sometimes I was pulling out money to give a certain amount, and the Lord said, no, I don't want you to give that much. You learn to obey what he says. Where if I was pulling out $200, he said, I said give 12. Then give 12. Because he knows where you are on the map of your finances. He may say give 1,000 because he knows you need to up your stuff. He's the one that will help you with that. But grow in that. Don't stay in the $2 realm. Don't stay in the $100 realm. Amen. Grow. Yeah. Have enough money in your bank accounts to do something. If we said we all needed to go to Israel tomorrow, could you go? Praise the Lord. You see where I'm going. Goodness is following you. Father, we thank you for every tither and every giver. Oh, Lord. Yes. The Lord just spoke to me. He said, and I'm unraveling that too. I'm unraveling this about finances. If you're stuck, unstick right now. Unstick spiritually right now. Put a pencil in. Take a button off your shirt, put it in. Put something in and break it right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you'd like to give via text message, you can put that up on the screen. Text VCHL, the amount you want to give, 732566, and you can click the link and you can give that way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for tithers and givers. We thank you, Lord, that you will see to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. Woo, praise the Lord. I just want to tell you that two of my dearest friends that have been around me for a long time, I'm not going to tell you who they are because they probably wouldn't want me to, have stood and fought the good fight of faith concerning their health and beat the odds on really serious situations. And so I would just say, praise God for you standing in your faith, believing God like you have, saying who you are, because you can. You don't have to hear a diagnosis and let it kill you. Amen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:1. We're going to talk about living in the end of time. Living in the end of time. Today is Brother's Day. I'm declaring it right now. The Lord just told me that. I don't know when it is, but I'm declaring today is Brother's Day. So, if you have a brother, in the name of Jesus, stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over our brothers. Every brother in the house. I declare they're whole. I declare they're healed. I declare the eyes of their understanding being enlightened to know the hope of their calling. We release the force of angels today to go to our brothers and change their hearts this very day, February 23rd at 11:14. Go, angels, and get it done. In the name of Jesus, you may be seated. You just got to get God's business done, church. We are the thermostats, after all. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Well, thank you, Lord. I just saw for some of your brothers that God's going to just leave a little sugar trail. Just a little sugar trail. Just a little sugar trail. And go, you know what? I like this. I'm going to follow this. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. See, you know, I know some of you are thinking, slap him around, God. No, he's going to leave a little sugar trail. Yes. Now, you quit judging him. Right. Stop the judging. Yes. Stop it. All right. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. See that? For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So the times and the seasons. Paul just finished talking about how things are going to play out in the chapter before. If you want to know about the end of days, read Thessalonians, okay? Particularly 4 and 5, okay? And so they also, he's telling them what's going to happen. And then they also know a few things because they know some things that Jesus said. It was passed on. They know that he talked about what to watch for in the seasons. Like, for instance, the nations were called the trees, and the Jews are the, anybody know? Fig tree, things like that. And so they knew this kind of stuff. But so he's talking to them about the times and the seasons. So this is what I want us to pick up here. Just wanted you to know a little context there. But you and I can see very well the time and the season we're in. I mean, how old are you, Katie? 15? 15-year-olds know. Not discounted, but I know you are really, you're really busy with life. But she's totally aware of where we are. Totally aware. Now, she probably has a little edge because she pays attention to God. But Paisley knows what's going on in the world. And she's a little bit younger than Katie. I wouldn't doubt if Journey couldn't quote it all for you. We know, people know, you feel, if you don't know, I don't know where you've been hiding, but you know that we're living at the end of time. Now, we're not living at the end of the world, but at the end of the age. And so we've learned through scriptures there's a thousand years. Lord, help me to think soberly here, to stand in the glory. So we've learned how 1,000 years is a day with God, right? Y'all know the verses like that. We understand that the Bible teaches us that everything happens also in 7-day periods, everything. I'll give you a scripture. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." So God's counting 1,000 years in the heavenly realm is just a day. So Miss Pauline's just barely been there. Yeah. She's just barely been there for a while. Miss Gay's barely been there for a while, and that's been a few years. Miss Louise. Miss Tinkerbell, all of our members that have gone to heaven. They've just been there for just a little while. My parents left me when I was 31 years old. They've just been there for just a little while. Yeah. Just a little while. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus was born 4,000 years into the Bible, into this. And then there's been 2,000 years since Jesus was born. Y'all know this stuff, right? Our calendar slightly off. Now listen, here's what I'm telling you. Irie may very well see her great-grandchildren on earth. It could happen. But we're still at the end of the age. Right. Yeah. We still are. Yeah. When you think about time, I mean, this is your time on earth, but it's running. I mean, somebody's birthday's coming pretty soon, and we were talking about, it's so interesting to think that they're already that age. My son is the same as my spiritual son there. And it's hard to think that we're already this old, right? But it happens, right? So, you know, I was a very young mother, so I'm good, but what I'm trying to tell you is that time goes quickly. And so even if you see Presley's grandchildren, maybe you could, it's going to go fast. Time goes by fast. Did I work on it enough with you? Yeah. You get that? So we use this time all the days of our life. We use this for what we need to use it for because we're at the end of time. So you know, since you were very young, you knew how to operate in the seasons, right? I mean, look, I'm this old and I still fall into the school days. I'm like, summer's here. I just feel better when summer comes. And I've been out of school for a long time. But it's still when summer comes, I'm like, we're free. This is good. You know, I like, you just, do y'all feel like that? And then when fall comes, now for some of y'all, you're like, going back to school. For me, it was like, but I do like the autumn because it's beautiful. But you know how to operate in the seasons. Christmas comes, happy holidays, it's going to be good, Merry Christmas. You know how to operate in every season. And God wants us to be able to operate in this season the way that he needs for us to. You know, even in gardening, there's specific things that you do in gardening. For example, and some of you know this quite well. You plant your potatoes on Valentine's Day. How many of y'all know that? Three people. Okay. And you harvest them on Mother's Day. That's how they talk the seasons with people. Amen. Sometimes we're about 2 weeks behind, don't you think, John? Sometimes. But we got them in there this time. Now, so these are just things that you kind of know and you live with. So what I just want to talk to you about just for a few minutes is that we need to understand how to live in this time. You need to understand how to live in this. So what does that look like? What's it all about? Well, you and I, now catch this, okay? We've entered into a space of time. It's just this little band of time in the scheme of mankind, and it's the biggest and perhaps the most important since the creation of Adam. We're in this specific time. We've stepped over into, now catch this, the spirit realm and the natural realm together. They're happening together. That's why the glory came in here during the worship and why we were trembling. The power of God was so strong in here just a few minutes ago, still residing on us. Heavy, there's a heavy veil in here right now. And but the truth is that we need to understand that the natural and the spiritual are really working together. Heaven is invading earth. And like I told you while we were all in that high place, everything that happened in the natural is happening in the spiritual. Executive orders are being signed in the spirit. They are. Many. Amen. Hostages are being released spiritually. You understand there are people in America, I know you've seen it, there are people in America that think the terrorists, they feel sorry for them. I know there's some people that just are going for the Palestinian people. I understand that. But some people are actually waving like Hamas flags and stuff. Well, I'm telling you, they're going to get set free. I saw it in the spirit. I saw them getting untangled and going, I need to learn to separate good from evil. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love all people, but you need to know what the evil is. Amen. And so, because you don't want to sign up to be on the side of evil. Amen. Now, so we're in this time, but this is how I'm going to explain it to you, the best thing I can tell you. We are now in exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think time. And I'm going to explain that to you a little bit. Let me explain it to you like this. This will be the easiest way. Go over to John 6:5 and we'll trail down this and you can plainly see this. So stay with me. Staying with me?
Yes.
Wake yourself up. This is the good part. I know the heavy, weighty presence kind of makes you, but rise up. All right, John 6:5. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, which shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Did you get that? One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here, he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was about much there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down and numbered about 5,000. So there were 5,000 men, but there were about 20,000 people. Okay. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. So he gave it to his guys, twice on the seat here, his guys went out and fed it to the people. Verse 12, when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing shall be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So here's what we have here. There, if there were ever exceeding abundance, it was then. This happened. This is a true story. This happened. And so thousands of people ate, and then there's 12 baskets left over. That's pretty cool. You know, people now and then, they say, wow, what a miracle. What a miracle that was. And that's true. That's true. It is a miracle. But it's more than a miracle, and that's what I want you to get. On that day, time culminated in Jesus. Time culminated, okay? I hope you got that. It was compressed, or it was tightly compacted within a tight space. Here's what happened. The growing time for the seed that the little boy planted in Jesus' ministry was instant. It grew up instantly. You see that? See, you understand that that was the seed he was sowing? I'm going to give this to the ministry of Jesus because Jesus is going to feed everybody. So he sows his seed, but the growing time was instant. And then what happens? The harvest time was instant. Came right up. As soon as he sowed, things started happening. I mean, and here came 12 baskets. Praise the Lord. Okay, so now just look more closely. Look more closely. Jesus asked for food to feed the thousands. The little boy sows his seed of food, so he's a giver. Jesus takes it into his hands. He blesses it. He breaks it. He distributes it. And then they pick it up, what's left over. The boy gave what? How many? 5 barley loaves, 2 fish. Jesus receives the boy's seed. He plants it in his fertile soil of his hands. Jesus is good ground. Is he? Jesus is good ground. And then he watered it with his words. He blessed it. Can you see it? Then immediately there was a harvest. Okay. Now, not only did it feed everyone until they were full, but there were plenty left over for a storehouse. Whose storehouse? People like the disciples because they were trying. No, the boy. The boy's the one that sowed it. They just had to carry it back to him. That was the boy's stuff. Now, he may have given it away again. I don't know. I mean, he probably went home going, Mama, look what happened today. But it went back to him. People immediately, well, there's 12 disciples, so 12 baskets. No. There were 12 baskets because they were passing it out. The harvest goes to the one who sows it. The harvest goes to the farmer. Amen. Then he does what he wants to with it. Amen. And so here we have time being compacted. Little boy walks away. So not only did it feed everyone, but you have all this left over for his storehouse. So what happened then? What actually happened? Amos 9:13 happened. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, all the hills shall melt. So the word here is prophesying that there's coming a time when seed time and harvest run together. And so the plowman, the reaper, and the winemaker are all catching up with each other. I mean, it's just rolling. It just keeps rolling. It's just all compacted. It's all just happening all at once. Why? Because the heaven realm has come into the natural realm. You better take some of this today, especially of how God's been flowing today. You might as well just go ahead and take it. Amen. That it'll come to you this way.
Amen.
Walk out the door today saying, I sowed, I reap. That's what you ought to do today. Amen. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Listen, when you reap, you're going to need to say something over it. You're going to need to talk. And it's not, where's my harvest? I didn't get it. Pastor always gets hers. I don't know where my harvest is. It's in your mouth. Your tongue is the reaper. Church, you don't say what it looks like. You say what you want. You're a thermostat, not a thermometer. You set it on what you want it to be on. Amen. Can I say something to you? When the earth was void, when it was dark, and God stepped out there, he didn't look at it and say, damn, it's dark. He didn't curse. I said that on purpose to tell you. He didn't curse it. I'm not trying to be a cusser, okay? I'm telling you. He said, oh, light be. You're not going to do any good cursing anything. Because if God cursed it, is this going to happen? But he didn't. Do you know how God curses? Can I tell you how God really curses? He removes himself. Adam made the curse. God didn't make the curse. God is good. He removes himself and then the curse shows up. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. So what do you want for your kids? What do you want for your life? What do you want? Talk to it. Okay, let's go on. So, all right. So, the young boy sowed his bread in the morning. He went home with a harvest that afternoon because time culminated. So this is the time that we actually live in today. Have you seen how fast things are moving? Just look at what happened since January started. Bam, bam, bam. I saw this guy on TV. He said, it was Keith Kraft. He's a preacher in Dallas. And he said, I have to tell you, he was talking to Gene Bailey, and he said, I have to tell you, I never watched the news, but I'm watching it now because there's so much good news. You know, and I'm thinking the same thing. I was like that too. I watched some of it so that I could pray about it, but not just full blast. Now I'm like checking every day. And now what's going on? And now, because it's good. It's good. There's some really good news going on, and I like good news. The Bible's the best good news, but I like good news. And so things are changing fast. Listen, this is just a whole new time frame. And when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you got over into his time schedule, and he got over into yours. And now we're seeing it culminate. We're seeing it come together. So we're in the same space as the rest of the world, but we're not functioning on their schedule.
Right.
You got that? We're not. Things can happen much faster. Things that seemed impossible are quickly coming on the scene. So the kingdom functions differently than the world system. Is that right? It functions differently. The world system says, be greedy. The kingdom system says, give. And that's how things come back to you, because you reap what you sow. But here's the thing. The kingdom system can come in and take over the world, your world around you.
Amen.
Okay? So if you know some things, so I'm going to give you three things to know before we close. Okay? Three things that you need to know. It's a review for you, basically. But I really think, well, I know because the Lord gave this to me, that you need to, let's say it like this, keep these locked in place. Keep these three truths that I'm going to give you locked in place for this season, okay? All right, number one is never forget the kingdom and the world function on the law of seed time and harvest. Oh, Pastor, no, don't forget that. Remember that. Remember it every day of your life that this world is functioning on seed, time, and harvest. Both realms function. Both realms function. You may not have thought of it that way, but I'm telling you, they both function on seed, time, and harvest. You know, Noah was chosen to be the seed after the boat landed. He was going to be the seed to repopulate the world. He brought his sons and wives. He brought some animals. And so he begins the process. This is what God said to him in Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed, time, and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And he's trying to tell you something. Sowing and reaping season will happen until we're done. They're going to happen until we're done. And this is true, once again, I'm going to tell you, naturally and spiritually. Now, New Testament, Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, into the world system, shall of that system reap corruption. It's corrupted. It's not as good. It doesn't work as well. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. How you live your life will be how you reap what flows into your life. You know what we've heard for years and years and years? Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. If you just do the same thing, you're going to get the same results. Now, sowing to the Spirit's great because you're going to reap. I'm not just talking about, don't get your mind off just finances. I'm talking about your whole life. I'm talking about your whole life. Certainly finances. We've already discussed that during the offering. But your whole life, if you're judging, if you're judgy, you will be judged. You want to know why? Because you're judging. You're judging you. It'll come back to you. Amen. Whatever you put out there is going to come back. Well, I love Pastor, but blah, blah, blah. You better watch that. Well, I love Larry, but no, probably nobody says that even about Larry. But anyway, you see what I'm saying. Well, I think this, but you might want to get that but out of there. You might want to stop judging. I've seen particularly men and women of God. Start judging them. I'll just leave that there because y'all are real quiet about it. But so you're going to have to watch out. Whatever you're going to say, whatever. Well, I'm broke all the time. Well, we don't have anything. Well, our marriage isn't good. Well, blah, blah, blah. Well, you're sowing those words.
Yeah.
You're sowing those words. You're sowing, nobody loves me. No, it never works for me. You keep sowing that. I've been telling you this for 23 years, and I'm going to tell it to you until I don't do it anymore. You can't sow those kind of words and get the kind of harvest you want. You can't pray sissy prayers and get the kind of harvest you want. You've got to pray in faith. You talk to the mountain and not about it. You make a place, and you learn how to treat people. If you want to be a friend, be friendly. If you want to be a good friend, if you want people to be a good friend to you, be a good friend. If you're a good boss, be a good boss and do what's right, and you'll have good people work for you. Amen. Lying is a bad seed to sow. Stealing is a bad seed to sow. And you remember what they said? They said to God, they said, what do you mean? Why? Who are we robbing? So my point is, people don't even realize how serious it is. Because remember, you call things that are not as though they were. So if you lie, you're making something a lie. Okay, the Lord added that, so I guess somebody needed it. All right, number two. By the way, seed time and harvest is not going to change. You're going to reap what you sow. That's why the golden rule is so wonderful. Do unto others. Teach your children that. This, if you want people to treat you a certain way, you treat them a certain way.
Right.
with respect.
Yes.
Number two, dig deeper in your understanding. When Jesus fed the multitude, he knew exactly what he was going to do. It said so, right? The word said that. But he asked Peter, he asked Peter, what should he do? He knew what he wanted to do. So what's he doing? Catch this now. Catch it. We learn through communication. And what he's doing is we think we have a good understanding of some things, but when the pressure gets turned up, all sorts of things come out of people's mouths. Did you get that?
Yeah.
So the pressure got turned up. How are we going to feed these people? And what happened? That came out of his heart, his mouth. When pressure comes, you'll find out who you really are. When pressure comes, people will find out who you really are. What happens to you when pressure comes? This is good. So you have to dig down. We're digging down and we're looking at these things. So things start jumping out of your mouth that otherwise you wouldn't say. You don't even know they're in there. Coming out. They're going to show you where you are. And because the abundance of the heart speaks, it'll tell you what you're really holding on to and what you're really practicing. That's good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So what was it about Philip? Well, he had little on his mind. It's little. We don't have enough. It's little. There's not enough here. So what's on his mind? That there's not enough. I mean, the God of the universe is standing right there inside Jesus. He's seen Jesus do all these things. And he's going, oh, we can't feed them. Hello? Think about it. So Andrew pops up. Well, this boy over here, he's got a two-piece fish dinner. But what's that among so many? Not enough, not enough, not enough, not enough. I can't do it because there's not enough. I can't do it because, and here it comes out of them because the pressure is on. He started out good, but he ended up in his reason. He was reasoning. You know what the best answer would have been there? You say. I used to say that to Pastor John all the time. He would say, Lady Rocks, what about da-da-da-da-da-da? And I would say, you say. Uh-huh. I give my opinion sometimes, but I always started out with, when I was growing up with him, I'd say, you say. Okay, I see that, okay. And then we go further on with it or whatever we need to do. But I think it's real smart if Jesus is asking you a question to not pontificate on what you think is best. I think it would have been good then that said, Jesus, I think you taught us about when Abraham called God Jehovah Jireh. That might have been a good answer. God the provider. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are y'all here? Y'all looking at me real blank. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, not enough. Wrong thoughts. Bad thoughts. So, if we're going to live in this realm of glory, we're going to need to remove wonder. I wonder. They were always wondering what he was going to do. Yeah. Oh, we're wondering, what's he going to do? Now what's he going to do? Well, now what's he going to do? Well, if you're wondering that, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to do three things. He always stands with the word. He is the word. And whatever God's word says is what Jesus will do. Everything Jesus did and said is an act of faith, and Jesus never did anything apart from the anointing. Those three things. He'll always go by the word. He will always act it out in faith, and he will always do it with the anointing. Amen. Faith and wonder don't mix. That's why this is what Jesus does. This is how he does it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he healed them then, he'll heal you now. If he prospered, if he could do the fish and the loaves then he can take your dollar bill and do it too. I just had a funny thought of someone standing over their dollar bill and going, Shama, 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 Shama. No, no, no. The way you get that dollar bill to work is to give it.
Yes.
Amen. Plant it. Plant it in Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is going to do what he said. Now, he said, this is what he said. He said there would be signs, wonders, and miracles today. He said he'd pour out his spirit on all flesh. That's what he said. That's what he said. On girls, too. That's what he said. Some of the church community doesn't believe that, but the Bible says, and we saw it happen all through the book of Acts, in spite of everybody fleshing their thing about women be silent in church. Women have never been silent in church, and y'all know it. But that's not what that, he was trying to get crowd control. And yeah. There are some women that had this some crazy thoughts. He was dealing with that. Yeah. You got to go back and look at the cultures of the churches he was preaching to.
Right.
It was rough.
Yeah.
Some of those women thought they were gods.
Yeah.
And they did need to shut up. This has everything to do with leadership. All right, now, just thought I'd throw that in there in case, well, nobody out there would be watching because they would, right? Okay, now, so, number three. Here's the good one. We needed this today. Stay anchored in a flood of glory. And this time, stay anchored in a flood and the flood of glory. Stay anchored in it. Stay anchored in it. Larry was my anchor today. I almost went down about 15 times today. But moving on past that a little bit, what do you do in the middle of an outpouring? Because we're in it. We're in it. Have y'all seen the people that are going to college campuses right now? And all these people are getting saved and baptized. Praise the Lord. And there are countries that have been a whole different religion that are coming into Christianity right now. Right now they are. Right now. You don't think Americans are not going to wake up? Oh, yeah, they're waking up. They're waking up. You're just watching the wrong channel.
Yeah.
Amen. It's happening. It's happening right now. The move of God is on. Praise the Lord. So what are you going to do? Well, real simple. Just what Jesus did. Stay with the Word. If you stay with the Word, you won't become flaky. Amen. Deepen your understanding of what's being said, like we were just talking about. Deepen your understanding about it. Search out a matter. Act in faith in everything you do. Tithe by faith. Church, don't just throw it in. Give by faith. Put words on it. Say this is who you are. We do it all the time. We'll say, tithers' rights. You can't break that. You can't have that. We use it. We know who we are, and it works. Amen. And so you stay anchored in that. You stay anchored. And you stay with the Word. You act in faith. And so you know what the next one is. Do everything you do in the anointing. Flow in the anointing. Pray, praise, worship, think, minister, read. All of that in the anointing. So what did I just say? How are you going to stay anchored in the glory outpouring? Lay hold of the Word. Lay hold of faith. Lay hold of the anointing. Stay with it. I don't know how to stay in the anointing. Before I walked out here today, I was in there, not by myself, with Jesus. And I said, I'm all of all God. I didn't say that today. Today I said, the life and the light of the Zoe life of God penetrates every cell in my body. It's oozing out my pores right now. I'm anointed on a level that the devil and the world is not familiar with, all to the glory of God. I can do what God has called me to do today. I release the power of God into this place. And and why did I say all those things? Because I wanted to reap the harvest when I stepped out here. And guess what? We did. And guess what? It didn't depend on any sleepy people in here either.
Yeah,
or who was worshiping or who wasn't. Because
yeah.
I can have it.
Yeah. Amen.
And I can have it all by myself if I wanted to.
Yeah.
You helped a lot. But I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You need to say, well, but I'm not a preacher. I'm a banker. You're anointed. Well, I'm a manager. You're anointed. Well, I'm an architect. You're anointed. This is not just us ministers. It's every welder and every teacher.
Yes.
Every business person.
Right.
Every student.
Yeah.
Every mama.
Yes.
Some people would say that I'm retirement age. I say I'm anointed.
Amen.
Yep. Some people would say, well, Katie's too young. I say she's anointed.
Amen.
She has the same Holy Ghost I have.
Yes.
Same size. Can do the same thing.
That's right.
Is this helping anybody?
Yeah.
I'm just spending a little time making you think right here before we close. Just want you to just think. Want you to think deeper. Want you to think about it. All you got to do is stay with the word. Stay in the anointing. Lay hold. Use your faith. This is the thing, church. You got to use your faith. And faith will not work unless you open your mouth. You put the word in your heart. You put the promise in your heart. All right, I need for five people in here to get their Bible open to a promise, because I'm going to ask you to read it in a minute. Now let's make it 10 people. 10 people. I want to know if you know where a promise is in the Bible, okay? Now, so seed time and harvest is always going to be functioning, church. Those of you who are looking that up, you got to listen at the same time. Sometimes you didn't believe in the harvest because you didn't see it. But that's what faith is, church. You have to believe in things before you see it. Instead, the world and religion does the blame game. Well, it didn't happen because not everybody would worship. We're not playing that game anymore. I'd do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't get it because they got mine. That's the big thing right now, isn't it? The rich people got my part. That's a lie.
It is.
The rich people got theirs because they did something. I'm telling you, you got to believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you didn't get it fast enough, but now you're going to. Because we're in a new place.
Yeah.
So if you open your big mouth and send it away, say goodbye to it.
Mm.
But if you open your mouth and call it to you, it'll be here by evening.
That's right.
Well, I don't know. Okay. A deeper understanding, so seed time and harvest, a deeper understanding will always create exceeding abundantly above all you think. I'm going to prove it to you right here as we close. As Ephesians 3 says, you get strength. Go read Ephesians 3, but I'm going to tell it to you, Roxanne version. As you get strength in your inner man so that you can be rooted and comprehend how much of an overflow belongs to you, then you will experience the abundant Zoe life of God. Get rooted and grounded. That's a prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying. You get rooted and grounded in all of this, and you're going to go, oh, yeah, abundance belongs to me. Abundance belongs to me.
Yeah.
Why did I ever live without it? Why did I ever let anything get in my way?
Yeah.
Oh, freedom belongs to me. Doing what I really want to do belongs to me. Living good belongs to me. Living in peace belongs to me. Shalom belongs to me. Freedom, protection, provision, all of it belongs to me. Forgiveness belongs to me. Righteousness is who I am. All these things, you get a deeper revelation of it, and all of a sudden you realize that exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think can come on the scene. And that is time culminated, pressed, and happening. Because what can you think? How big can you think? What can you really think? Because he can do more. He can do more. He can do more. What you need is to believe this and look for divine appointments. Amen. Stay anchored in the flood as it comes. Stay in the word, in faith, and move in the anointing. Amen. You got it? This is what we're going to do. You stay in it. Church, never get tired about being reminded about your mouth. It's like taking a shower. You need it every day. You need it every day. Never get tired about hearing that you need the word every day. Because you can't live off the memory of a baked potato. You have to eat it. You have to do it. Stop being quiet. Father, we thank you for those listening today. We pray healing power. We pray prosperity. We pray blessing over those who've been watching today. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God in their life. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing in their life. We thank you, Lord, that they know how to act on their faith by confessing the word of God and standing and believing and acting on it in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye. I started to tell them goodbye in Italian, and I thought, well, back up on that. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Raise your hand if you got a promise. Vivi. Praise the Lord. Is that what you had? Say it again then. Amen. Who over here has one? Okay. Praise the Lord.
Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. We are not season dependent, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit.
Praise the Lord. What do you got? Did you have one?
Yep.
Okay.
Amen.
Chris, that's a good one. Talk loud. Talk loud. Ooh, that's a good one. Search for me with all your heart.
Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine.
Man, isn't that a seed time and harvest one?
Proverbs 3:24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror nor of the trouble of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
So I have to back up on 37:4. Psalm 37, 3, 4, and 5. Trust in the Lord and do good, and delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the secret petitions of your heart, and then commit your way to the Lord, and he will surely bring it to pass.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Is that what you had? Amen. Praise the Lord. Joan, what you got? So good. Debbie.
Ephesians 3:19. That you may really come to know
Praise the Lord. Now that's right before exceeding abundantly. That's right there before it. What you got, Jim? Praise God. That's a good one.
Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield.
Yes.
The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk upright.
Amen.
Wow.
I wish y'all could see your faces while everyone's reading their promise. This is the face y'all have. It's like y'all are eating the best steak in the world.
Yeah.
What you got, Karina? I love that one. So true.
Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall
be given to you.
Good measure.
Press down. Shake it together. I know.
Of a truly happy land where Jehovah is God, sons vigorous and tall as growing plants, daughters of graceful beauty like the pillars of a palace wall, barns full to the brim with crops of every kind, sheep by the thousands out in our fields, oxen loaded down with produce, no enemy attacking the walls, but peace everywhere.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yep.
That's my land.
Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases.
Yes.
He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen. You know, if when we got together, if we just did that, our faith would rise up. Because just quoting the promises. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. You're anointed.
I'm anointed.
You know the word.
I know the word.
Do you know the word?
I know the
You
word.
Just knew the word right there. You found it. You went and found it. You didn't have to go look it up. You knew where a word was.
Yes.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good.
So good.
God is good. Just listen to the Spirit of God. I want to tell you in these days, learn to pray in the Spirit. Because you're laying out the tracks for your life. Just spend a little time. You're like, well, I don't have a very long language. Keep talking. You'll get one.
Amen.
Say it over and over. Say it over and over.
Amen.
Just keep, if you got one little sentence, say it over and over. And say, thank you, Jesus. And it'll begin to increase. Because if you can yield your tongue, that's when you give your life over to the Holy Ghost. That's what's happening. The tongue is the hardest member to yield. That's why we want to confess, have the right conversation. Pray, worship with our mouths.
Yes.
Amen. This keeps coming up to me that I need to tell y'all this, and we're right on time to get out. We had a prayer meeting here on Tuesday. The thermostats met, and Sandy was here. And she said this, which I want to tell you this because I think it'll help you for our future. She said, I saw a ball of glory. Remember? She said, and I actually put my hand up in the air, and I just saw myself throwing it, okay?
Yeah.
Now, you can interpret that however you want to, but the part I want to get to you is that this, her raising her hand in the natural is called a prophetic enactment.
Yeah.
It means that you actually did something with the natural to bring something about in the spirit. Because as you know, you are in a body. You're in an earth suit. And so you can use this earth suit. So when you see us do things, you're like, what are they doing? Like, you know, if we're doing like this or this or this or whatever it is, God's probably using that person in some sort of way to get across what's, see, like I'm doing, to get their point across. So don't be disturbed about anything that goes on in the room if you think it all looks crazy. Just let everybody enjoy the presence of God. You do what you do. If you like to be still, but I'm not.
Amen.
Amen. God is so good, church. God is so good. So good to know. Thank you, Lord. You are fully equipped for the next move. Fully equipped for the next move. The angels of God are on the scene. The angels of God are moving you for the next move. They're working with you now. I'm going to supply in a way you didn't know I would. So claim it and believe it. I've got stashes, son. I've got stashes. And I'm willing to dole them out and deal them out to those who follow me in all that they do. And you're one of my choices, saith the Lord. And so watch and see that every seed that you have sown is coming up in a harvest quickly in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. 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 Your puppy is the first proof of all of the things that I'm going to do to answer what you've asked of me. And you and I will share many, many special moments, saith the Lord, of things that you have asked for and I have given. And there will be so many testimonies. Be sure and write them down. Be sure and keep them in a journal. It'll make a book. It'll make a book. There'll be so many testimonies that are going to come forth. But in the puppy, it's me. It's me. And you'll see so much more of me. And I would say this to you. Whatever you see that I do for you, know that I can do it again and do it bigger. Keep that in your heart, my daughter. You're on the rise. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. I'm going to put you in a possibility thinking mode. For increase is at hand. But it won't carry with it any more weight of work. It'll be smart and easy and quickly and a setup that will work all around you. Step into that think tank with me and I'll show you. I'll show you what to do and what to get rid of and how to move and how to flow. I'll show you. It's quick and it's easy. And as you've led those around you with my anointing, I will increase that anointing and it'll come upon others, even to the place that they'll begin to follow you through these doors. In Jesus' name, thank you for it, Lord. 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 See you both laying out on the table the possibilities of the next steps. Life will not guide you. You will guide life. For you stand in the highest position of the families. And I'll use your and your authority to make dreams come through. Not just around your house, but in the houses that you've raised up. And so your authority rides high with me. I've given it to you. So lay out the possibilities and look at them. For by example and by prayer, you'll see everything you've held on to, everything you believe me for, will come to pass. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not holding back. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to hold back. It's yours. It's yours. You are living in the day for such a time as this. You're carrying heavy, weighty presence. And the spirit of evangelism will rise up to a new level. And when you speak to people, they'll hear you clearly. You have you like a Pied Piper. People will listen and know. But there's another thing about you. You're not just anointed in the area of gathering. You are a leader. And so, my daughter, I would say to you, rise up in your leadership It's time now to lead. I will show you how. I'll give you the steps. I will educate you. I will revelate to you. And you are a great leader in this church, in this world, in your life. And your children will call you blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands